Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host here on The Raw Deal on Revolution Radio, this 23rd day of October 2023 with Danny Cirrus as my special featured guest. I have a few stories suggesting we're on the eve of World War III before I bring in Danny, but he was mentioning to me just now that there's a new report that the U.S. and Israel were in collusion here to set this whole thing up, that the Biden admin knew that Bibi was going to stand the IDF down for 7 hours to allow Hamas to take territory and prisoners, so I'd have a pseudo-justification for the invasion of Gaza, which they've wanted to do forever. Where they've already destroyed 30% or 40% of the residential properties there, which is a gross violation of the Hague Conventions, which declare that the destruction of private property is forbidden by international law. And, of course, the ongoing slaughter, the collective punishment of Gaza, is another war crime proscribed by the Geneva Conventions, that declared no one may be punished for a crime they did not personally commit. Now, it's a fraction of the Gazans, even if they're feeling supportive of Hamas, that are actual members of Hamas and perpetrated the crimes, the purported crimes that are being alleged here. But Israel seems to think it's immune from man's law, that it's following God's law. Golda Meir is even seems to have asserted that after the Holocaust, Israel believes it can do anything with impunity, that it can do whatever it wants. And when we had the Minister of Defense of Israel declaring that there are no restrictions on what the troops can do and that there are going to be no military crimes, he's really inviting mass murder, gang rape, looting and pillaging with impunity. I mean, this is grotesque. If anyone wants to know whether Israel is or is not a rogue state, that is, in my opinion, along with the United States, the greatest terrorist nation in the world, there it is. There it is. It's blatant. Hardly a surprise that the whole world, the whole Arab world, all the decent, right-thinking human beings on planet Earth are up in rage and declaring, we are Palestinians too. Now, Danny, fill me in on this latest report. It's fascinating, suggesting the Biden admin has been in this from the beginning. Tell us.
Good morning, sir. How are you? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, very well, Danny. Go.
Okay, so this latest report I wanted to read to you, along with all the other things we had to cover, is it says an insider has revealed that the Hamas attack on Israel was an inside job by the globalist elite working in tandem with the Biden administration and the Israeli government as part of a great master plan for World War III, which has been in the works since the State of Israel was created after World War II. The terrorists were funded and armed by the Biden administration and the buildup to the attack. And the Israeli Defense and Intelligence Services agreed to stand down and look the other way when the attack was launched. According to the official, the Israeli false flag will light the fuse to ignite a holy war that will spiral out of control and lay the groundwork for the elite to usher in a one-world government and a one-world religion, because the whole thing is controlled. And that's the end of the quote.
Well, Danny, I can certainly see initiating a world war here. I think that's very much in the offing. I think the probability of world war is sky high, certainly the highest in my lifetime. Having been born in 1940, I tell you, this is by far the most treacherous and ominous situation I've ever witnessed. But the idea that's going to usher in a one-world government or something of that order, I think is frankly absurd. That's not going to be an outcome of this. Is there any argument or reason given for making those claims? And by the way, what is the source of that story? Which outlet published it?
I don't have the particular name of that, sir. I just thought it was an interesting quote. I got it along with that Fox clip I told you. And it just goes off. It's from the Intel blog that I got in line.
Danny, you were talking about how Ted Cruz has come onto Fox and said, "Oh, Biden's financing Hamas, financing Iran," which would be supportive, I think, of the suggestion that he's been eager to promote this all taking place. Did you want to add further thoughts about his appearance on Fox?
I thought it was really interesting. You know, he appeared very upset. I just saw it last night on Fox. He was on Maria's show, and Maria was quite upset as well. And he came on to explain that the Biden was given our tax dollars to Iran, and Iran was using it as a proxy to fund Hamas to cause all these issues. And he was quite upset. And of course, he was tearing into Biden and the administration for being so reckless with giving our money away the way he is to the wrong people. And he talked about how it was causing chaos, and he was extremely upset about it. And, he just kind of went on from there, him and Maria on Fox.
Yeah, well, good, Danny, good. We'll pick it up. I want to introduce some stories that confirm how dangerous the situation is right now, that substantiate how close we are to World War III. This is everything points to Iran. Bad Omen, USS Gerald R. Ford. U.S. fills northeast with additional THAAD and Patriot missiles. Third aircraft carrier on the way. This is for a report about war 24/7. Very good website. The U.S. has now begun to prepare for the possibility of a confrontation with Iran, as they expect a dramatic escalation of the situation in the Middle East. This prospect is becoming more and more visible. This is also the main reason Israel's ground operation has been delayed. The deployment of American forces is not yet complete, as assessments are constantly being made that overturn the previous estimates of the course of the Israel-Hamas conflict. The Pentagon announced a few hours ago the strengthening of air defenses in the Middle East by sending additional thermal high-altitude area defense and Patriot artillery units to locations throughout the Middle East. The U.S. Defense Secretary also announced he'd put an additional military force on alert, was to be ready to deploy to the region if necessary. He did not, however, go into details about the numbers. Information indicates a mission of another carrier with a battle group is being considered, likely to be deployed in the U.S. Fifth Fleet area covering the Red Sea, the Sea of Oman, and the Gulf. Rumor has it that the crew of the USS Gerald R. Ford in the Eastern Mediterranean has been served steak and lobster for dinner, which is a bad omen. That is usually reserved for the holidays, and this is not. Our news expected to be bad to demoralize the crew, such as involvement in war. I think that's what's going on. Meanwhile, as though that weren't bad enough, Iran opens its silos, dozens of ballistic missiles ready to launch. Israel's submarine fleet with nuclear missiles has set to sea. The thermometer and tension in the Middle East are rising sharply after yesterday's attempt by the Houthis to attack Israel from Yemen. And today, the Supreme Military Command of Iran gave an order for the sudden mobilization of the country's ballistic arsenal. The Iranian Guards Aerospace Force put the ballistic missile command on high alert, according to Iranian sources. The Iranian Guard Air Force is set to conduct a major ballistic missile exercise near Oum. Photos and videos show Iran moving dozens of ballistic missiles to launch sites. Ballistic missiles are coming out of the bowels, literally, of Iran's mountains. Ballistic missiles were spotted moving along a highway south of Tehran. No one knows yet if Iran will launch a missile as a warning. However, the city of Qom looks toward Iraq and Israel. Here's a tweet about it. So far, 45 military and cargo aircraft have landed in Israel with weapons, ammunition, and even medical equipment to support the IDF and the war on terror, actually in committing terror. This Boeing 747, which arrived at Ramon Air Base today, carried several ambulance vehicles and several tons of medical equipment, which, of course, is exactly what you'd bring to an area about to become a war zone. Here's a nice observation from the Daily Mail. Who is planning to start World War III? America or Iran? So which country is going to start World War III? The U.S., sending not one but two aircraft carriers bristling with attack aircraft and soldiers to the Israeli area, or Iran, sending nothing significant to the same region at present, obviously. The alarming U.S. military escalation is aimed at starting a war, not preventing one. And the Orwellian language of the Daily Mail fits well with standard CIA techniques of blaming Washington's enemies for what it wants to do itself. Even before the new influx of firepower, the U.S. had over 30,000 troops in the region. That includes 13,000 in Qatar, 7,000 in Bahrain, at least 3,000 each in Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and Kuwait, 2,500 in Iraq, and another 2,500 in Turkey. İnlik Air Base in Turkey is also home to 50 American B-61 nuclear bombs. Additionally, around 2,000 U.S. Marines with the 26th Marine Expeditionary have just arrived in Kuwait for an exercise when the Hamas attack in Israel happened. And mind you, if we were already notified, then that's not coincidental. That was all deliberate. Scott Ritter has very thoughtful observation about this. That war with Iran would be suicide and the U.S. will lose. Let's listen to what Scott has to say about the big picture here.
Well, we are on World War III watch. It's like a crock pot of war rhetoric right now, all thrown into one big pot. Just a few minutes ago, Chinese President Xi Jinping threw his support behind Russian President Vladimir Putin and the security of the Russian state, military security for Russia. A congressional report out this morning warning that a war with Russia and China is on the horizon and the U.S. should be prepared. Of course, we covered last night U.S. Foreign Affairs Committee, Mike McCaul, Committee Chairman Mike McCaul, authorizing President Biden to use force in a war against Iran. The Biden regime has also discussed using military force if Lebanon-based Hezbollah attacks Israel with rockets. All of these things unfolding in a World War III watch right now. We figured we'd bring in former U.N. weapons inspector, former U.S. Marine Scott Ritter, whose analysis on geopolitics and everything going on with these strategic war rhetoric right now is so important. Scott, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
So I guess maybe we start with just a few minutes ago, Xi Jinping throwing security support behind Russia. And what does this mean with this new congressional report warning that Russia and China, a war with both of those countries simultaneously, is on the horizon?
Well, first of all, let's talk about what Xi Jinping has done. China and Russia, of course, have a relationship that's superior to any treaty relationship. It's a relationship without any boundaries. This is what they've been saying. But there's been some boundaries. I mean, China has been a little bit reticent about Russia's military incursion into Ukraine. It violates China's Westphalian principles of sovereignty and things of that nature. But I think China has been compelled to reassess its posture, not by Russia's actions, but by the collective West's actions, that China now recognizes that this struggle between Russia and Ukraine isn't about Russia against Ukraine. It's about Russia against the collective West, against NATO, against the United States. And then China has to evaluate the rhetoric and the actions that have been coming out of the United States, its European allies, its Asian allies, in regard to China, the strangulation of China that they're trying to do economically and geopolitically. And China, I think, has realized that the best way to protect China is to align China militarily, secure from a security standpoint, with the other nation that is lined up against the same enemy set that China's facing, and that's Russia. And this is a huge deal because it's not that China's military is going to be coming over the borders. I mean, I think you'll see some Chinese assistance from a material standpoint. You'll see some of this. You'll see closer cooperation between Russia and China. But it won't be a one-way street. Russia has some technology it can offer China that will be devastating to America if China ever incorporates it. But more importantly, it's about the fact that Russia is no longer alone, that China now has said, we support what you're doing. We're on your side. We're on Team Putin when it comes to Ukraine, when it comes to the world, the global position. This is bad news for those in the United States who are trying to resurrect Cold War fantasies of being able to wage and win two wars simultaneously. You know, back when I was in the Marine Corps, we actually had a posture of fighting two and a half wars. The way the United States was configured militarily, we could fight a war in Europe using NATO and defeat the Soviet Union. At the same time, we could fight a major war in the Pacific, probably North Korea, and defeat the North Korean Chinese threat, and still have sufficient force to engage in a smaller war, say in the Middle East, where we would fight a holding action until we won one of the two major wars and diverted the resources in to win the half war. And we had the forces to do that. We trained to do it. We were ready to do it. And thank God we never had to do it, but I think we could have done it. Today, we went from two and a half to two wars. Today, we're down to literally one war, and we can't even do one war. Let's be honest. If we went to war right now in Europe against Russia, we don't have sufficient military force to prevail. We can fight a war. We can't win a war. If we went to war against China, we could fight a war, but we can't win it. And that's even if we bring the totality of our conventional strength into play. And now we're talking about doing it against both Russia and China. The costs that are going to be associated with this are phenomenal. First of all, it's going to require a massive expansion of our conventional military power. The United States Army just had a shortfall in recruiting. They are literally tens of thousands of personnel short of what their authorized manning strength is, which means instead of expanding the U.S. Army, they have to shrink it. They don't have enough men or women to fill the ranks. And so certain units, certain capabilities are being taken down to zero because you don't have manpower to do this. And now Congress is talking about beefing up with what? Are you going to go to a draft? Have you run that by the American people? Is it really smart for the United States to talk about fighting a two-war? Do we know what that means? It means that America has to leave our continental fortress, go across the oceans to fight a war over there in their backyard. In their backyard. That means we're taking Russia on, you know, in a confrontation in Europe where Russia's logistics are literally right there next to them. They're supplying themselves from interior lines of communication. We will have to extend ourselves. We don't have sufficient logistical buildup in Europe anymore. It would cost billions to do that. That means we have to sustain from the United States with lengthy supply lines. It's literally suicidal. So this is insane. Biden's talking about, they're talking about potential conflict with Iran. We can't fight Iran. We don't have the forces to do that. You know, we fought the Gulf War in 1991 by having friendly ports and airfields that we could bring our ships into and offload in an uncontested fashion and land and offload troops. How are we going to do that in a war with Iran? They're going to blow up every port, blow up every airfield. It means now we have to do a forcible entry into an Iranian port, Chabahar, Bandar Abbas. We don't have the force structure to do that. Iran has missiles that will sink our ships before we get there. They're parking two aircraft carrier battle groups off the coast of Lebanon with a 2,000-man amphibious ready group to fight Hezbollah. Hezbollah's 100,000 men, highly trained, dug in to the hills of southern Lebanon who've been preparing for this fight. We have gone insane. Let me just make it very clear. America can't fight and win a war anywhere in the world right now against any power that has any military capability. We're that weak. We are literally that weak. We can't even stop. Well, we are.
I think that is a very bald assessment and highly accurate of where we stand militarily. And frankly, what you said before, Danny, about Biden having been in on this, that reflects a Jewish control of our administration. That reflects the key players like the Secretary of State and the Secretary of Homeland Security and the Secretary of the Treasury are all Zionists, that they are manipulating the American government to accomplish the goals of Israel. This has nothing to do with the United States and its national interests at all. And of course, as I've many times reported, our Congress is Israeli-occupied territory. Cynthia McKinney, back in 2011, reported how all new members of Congress are asked to sign a pledge to put the interests of Israel ahead of that of the United States. And virtually to a man and woman, they comply. Oh, 7 or 8 years ago, a friend asked me, did I know how many members of the then current Congress had refused to sign the pledge? And I admitted I did not. And he held up one finger of one hand because only one person had refused. Israel seems to want a world war. It seemed to be based on theology. They seem to believe that there must be an Armageddon in the Middle East for their Messiah to return. I mean, it's insanity. And the Biden admin, because it's an extension of Israel, is going along with it. Danny, your thoughts?
Well, I agree with that, sir. It is insane. It's absolutely ridiculous. I'm tired of them sending money. We have so many problems here in the United States, which you can have several shows just uncovering half of those problems. And sending money over to Iran or even into Israel, this is none of our business. I mean, that's my opinion, you know, and it just seems that Israel has this influence over our government and over the Biden administration to get him to send money like this and to kind of get us involved in this conflict, which I think is the same. It's absolutely ridiculous. We got our own problems. I totally agree with that man's assessment on our military, and we are just not ready. We lost a ton of military over this COVID thing with the jab. I know a lot of military people left the military because they didn't want to take any vaccine shots. And I know the people that did, a lot of them got sick because of the vaccine shot, which devastated our military. So we are in bad shape when it comes to our military right now. And to try and get us committed to some kind of war over there is just absolutely ridiculous. And I think the citizens of the United States are going to revolt. And I don't think they're going to go along with this at all.
Well, that's very interesting. Now, there are outbursts. Israel, by the way, has issued an ultimatum on Gaza. IDF spokesman Jonathan Konica said there'd be no ground operation if Hamas surrenders and releases all hostages. Hamas is not going to do that. Israel will not conduct a ground op in Gaza if Hamas surrenders unconditionally, fat chance, and frees all of its hostages. Israeli Defense Force spokesman Lieutenant Colonel Jonathan Konica said, if the looming offensive goes ahead, however, Israeli Defense Minister Gallant, he's a guy who said there's not going to be anything that the Israeli troops cannot do, that they're going to ignore international law. No matter what they do, there will be no military tribunals. Gallant estimates it could take up to 3 months. That's ridiculous. This couldn't be done in 3 months. It would take a year if they were lucky. And frankly, there are a lot of those who believe that Hamas can take out the Israeli military. He explained Israel would prefer to rely on airstrikes and avoid exposing a troop to danger unnecessarily. He suggested, however, such an approach may prove insufficient to root out the militant group. I guarantee you, it would be. If Hamas were to come out of their hiding places, and they hide beneath the civilians, the return of hostages, all 212, and surrender condition, and
like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I continue with this ultimatum, which we're going to learn from a former IDF general, appears to be a bluff, that the Israelis are scared shitless about going into Gaza, that they think they're going to get their ass wiped. And I believe that's largely true. He said, if Hamas were to come out of their hiding places where they hide underneath the civilians, that's a bit of a misstatement of what's going on here, and return our hostages, all 212, and surrender unconditionally, then the war would end. He concluded, if the Palestinian militants fail to comply, we will probably have to go in and get it done. If they can't, you got to understand, Israel withdrew from Gaza before because they couldn't handle it. Meanwhile, speaking at the Israeli Air Force headquarters in Tel Aviv Sunday, the defense minister, the same guy who gave the green light to war crimes, insisted this needs to be the last ground maneuver in Gaza for the simple reason afterward there will be no Hamas. Well, that's going to make Hamas eager to surrender. I mean, give us a break. Friday, U.S. President Biden appeared to confirm he was urging Israel to delay sending troops into Gaza. However, less than an hour later, White House Communication Director Ben LaBolt claimed the president had misheard the question and was not attempting to influence Israel's decision-making. Came as Bloomberg reported the same day the U.S. government and some European allies were pushing Israel to postpone its ground attack on Gaza to negotiate the release of more hostages held by Hamas. Here we have the IDF general revealing the hideous truth. We have lost the ability to field an effective army. He's talking about Israel. A retired general from the IDF says we have lost the ability to field an effective army and have become a one-dimensional aerial power that cannot win a war on its own. General Yitzhak Brick went even further. He says the current situation of the land forces is tragic. They are not ready for war. Sounds a lot like what Scott Ritter was saying about the U.S. forces. Emergency supplies are not available. Exercises have stopped. The battalions have not trained for years. There's no weapon training and education. The army is not capable of carrying out an attack. He added, Israel's ground forces and reserve system have been constantly ignored. We have lost the ability to field an effective army and have become a one-dimensional aerial power. It cannot win a war on its own, in his view. Israel's ground forces are not ready for war. The warning follows a series of polls showing a large portion of the Israeli citizens have lost faith in their country's future. This was particularly evident over the last year when people were divided over political and judicial issues. I'd add, of course, about Bibi Netanyahu wanting to change the constitution to preserve himself from prosecution for crimes of corruption that he was convicted of having committed. In my role of general, I visited more than 1,400 units, spoken to tens of thousands of commander and soldier three or four times a week, 4 hours in each unit. I know the army on the ground better than anyone in the Israeli Defense Forces. I have seen soldiers who do not take care of the weapon before leaving the base. No army in the world behaves like this. The soldiers carry their smartphones with them everywhere. Commands are sent via WhatsApp group. These phones are being tracked by the enemy. Not only that, the commands are said to have been sent via email and then deleted. Mean no follow-up action is possible. Our system has lost all control. Have we gone crazy? I cannot sleep at night. Our ground forces and armored corps are not ready for war. What I present here is something you will not hear from the top IDF. Not only do many of the commanders not know anything, those who do are afraid to speak, lest they be punished. Calling on members of Knesset, Foreign Affairs and Defense Committee, to speak to rank and file soldiers and address the issues. Let them show you what is going on. Share with them their problems and difficulties. It will not be the division, brigade, and battalion commanders from whom you will learn the reality that exists in the field. You'll learn it from those for whom it is the routine of their life. Their statements are the truth. Israel's entire security apparatus has failed and relied too heavily on technology with an unhealthy dash of arrogance. But as is typically the case, those who don't go with the flow and call out the glaring problems are dismissed as lunatics, like General Brick, who saw the danger before anyone else but appears to have been ignored. Danny, that suggests the whole situation is different. Then it's generally being apprised that they fear Hamas. They don't want to enter Gaza. They're afraid to do it, and they don't have the capabilities to succeed if they do. Your thoughts?
Well, sir, obviously they're not ready for this. They're not ready for any sort of a world war at all. And, you know, he's saying that their capability is down, and they basically don't have the manpower that's willing to do this. So, you know what? I'd say that's good advice. And, you know, maybe that's why Israel's trying to summon us to get involved in this. And I just don't want to be involved in this. I mean, I just don't think the United States should have to commit all its forces and put troops on the ground to go in there and have to do this, you know, and risk starting this huge war that, like Ritter said, we're not prepared for. And it's just so expensive. We have too many other things that we need to take care of right now, and now is not the right time. There's no doubt about this. So they ought to look at some other way of getting their, if they have hostages, they should look at some other way of going in there and trying to get these people out rather than try to drag the United States into some kind of huge conflict like this that we cannot win. I just think it's extremely reckless that the Biden administration in any way is sending money, you know, our taxpayer money that we don't really have. Our deficit's already big enough as it is, and sending any kind of money over to Iran, Ukraine, and anywhere else for that matter, when we have a whole host of issues that need to be solved here in the United States. You know, one of the biggest ones I just keep thinking about and I can't get out of my mind is how Biden gave, what, $700 to the victims of Maui after the fire, right? And yet he's so reckless to give billions of dollars of our money that, you know, we could be using for infrastructure. We could be, you know, all the problems that we have here in the United States that we could be doing to solve with that money. But yet he's so happily giving it away over Iran and overseas in Ukraine, billions of dollars. It's just absolutely disgusting, sir. I don't know what their way of thinking is. Are the people that are in charge that are so reckless the way they are right now with our money. But I just think it's astonishing what's going on, sir. It's just hard to believe.
Well, Danny, I've got one more story I want to share before we turn to the cases that you want to address. Dave Chappelle goes on pro-Palestinian rant, cheers of free Palestine, Jews leave. I think we're going to see a lot more of this across the United States. Comedian Dave Chappelle went on a pro-Palestinian anti-Israel rant at a show in Boston Thursday evening. It was cheered by the crowd, causing Jews present in the audience to walk out. A source posted on Facebook, "Hello, my friends. This is my first FB post in nearly 7 years. With that said, also the only social media platform I have, so I hope people still use FB. I would like to share with you an experience I had last night. My wife and I went to see the Dave Chappelle stand-up comedy show at TD Garden with three other couples. What started up as a funny and joyful evening for the eight of us ending with disgust and fear. Toward the end of his act, and may I say, I infer these folks are Jewish, toward the end of his act, Chappelle mentioned the war in Israel. Now, he as a Muslim denounces Israel for its treatment of the people in Gaza and started adding lots of false and unsubstantiated claims. Yeah, false claims like Israel bombing the hospital in Gaza, right, or the Orthodox Church, which aren't false at all. A gentleman toward the front, yeah, you should shut the F up. Chappelle lost it on the man yelling, you don't not tell me to F up at my show. He then started on a tirade of his beliefs, leaving comedy behind and focusing purely on the politics. Well, that was awful in itself. What made my heart sink and started to invoke fear was when the crowd of nearly 20,000 started yelling, go Palestine, go Hamas, and other related hateful jargon. The audience was cheering Chappelle on during his tirade. Oh, I was sick. We were sick. I turned to my friends and wife and said, I think it's time to go. We walked out and met up with many other Jews leaving the show. Never in my life have I felt so unsafe and so fearful of what I was witnessing. The words alone were horrific, but we were vulnerable in a public forum. How could we know what would happen? Could violence against the Jewish members in the audience break out? Here in Boston, how is there so much hate for Jews? How could a comedy show provide such a mechanism for people to verbally shout out their hatred for Jews? The unfortunate icing on the cake was that all cell phones and communication devices had to be locked up. So there's no video or audio evidence. With that, I'm hoping social media can spread the word. If you made it this far and know how to use social media better than me, should be better than I, please share and see if you can get this to the Boston Globe. Thanks. The Wall Street Journal. Chappelle first condemned the October 7th attack on Israel by Hamas militants, but criticized what he said were war crimes in Gaza, according to people in attendance. The comments came up when Chappelle said he didn't think students should lose job offers for supporting Palestinians. An audience member's command for the comedian to shut up to an emotional response from Chappelle who criticized the Israeli government for getting up water and other essential in Gaza and accused it of killing innocent people. According to the attendees, some audience members cheered Chappelle on and shouted, Free Palestine. Others yelled, what about Hamas? Some of the crowd got up and left. Let me say, Chappelle's right in every single point he's making. They've imposed a complete siege on Gaza, a small area with a population of over 2 million, no food, no water, no electricity. Remember the rule of threes. Human beings can live for 3 minutes without air, for 3 days without water, and 3 weeks without food. Well, they've shut off all of the above. That's inhumane. It's a war crime. It's a violation of international law. I'm 100% on Chappelle's side. Here's a video of the show has yet to emerge, but here's a tweet. Sabrine Sakudi tweets, new Dave Chappelle criticizes Israeli government bombardment of Gaza in a show in Boston last night while suggesting the Hamas attacks were not an excuse to commit war crimes. I couldn't agree more. A spokesman told the journal he was not in Boston, though a schedule of tour dates confirmed the show took place as possible. The spokesperson was referring to Friday night, not Thursday. Danny, I am impressed that Dave Chappelle, who is so prominent, is speaking out so clearly because, in my judgment, everything he's saying is accurate and he's showing great integrity and courage in speaking out. Your thoughts?
I don't really follow Dave Chappelle, or his comedy. So, I just think it was not probably a good idea for him to do that at a comedy show with the mix of people like that, that could cause some sort of a ruckus in the crowd. You know, we have enough political stuff going around the country as it is. So
You know, that could have turned into a volatile situation.
And it's not a good idea for NFL players to take a knee for BLM either, Danny. But I'm telling you, our society has become so polarized and politicized, we're all going to have to take a stand. I'm telling you. And you know, Biden's casting it. You're either with Israel or you're with a terrorist. That's what we heard on 9/11. And do I need to remind anyone? On 9/11, Israel attacked the United States. 9/11 was put up by Israel. It originated in the brain of Bibi Netanyahu and Ehud Olmert, both of whom were PMs, Bibi, of course, being the president still, to create a cause to justify American forces coming into the Middle East to take out the modern Arab state that served as a counterbalance to Israel's domination of the entire region. So it was outrageous. But the American people aren't allowed to know. Danny, say a few more words while I pull up a version of the videos we want to discuss.
Well, along the lines of what you just said, besides Dave Chappelle, you know, because that crowd situation, just it's not a good idea. But in either case, that could explain the 9/11, the whole situation and what we know. That could explain, obviously, the control that Israel has over the United States. And it's almost like a blackmail situation to where, you know, the truth is they were involved in it. And, you know, the powers to be don't want that revealed and open to the American people for obvious reasons. And it's almost used like a, to me, it's almost used like a blackmail kind of situation to get the United States to go along with whatever Israel wants. And that's a really bad situation, you know, and that whole thing needs to be broken. And the people need to know the truth about what happened in 9/11 for sure.
Now, Danny, you sent me five videos that we want to discuss. Here's the first. Graphic raw footage massacre across Israel from the eyes of Hamas. I have it set up to play. They're warning us extremely graphic. But, Danny, you tell me when you want me to stop or pause a video. Of course, everyone in our audience is only going to get to see this video if they watch the recorded version on my BitChute channel, which I'll also post on my Twitter account. Danny, I'm going to start to play it.
1 second, sir, if I could, right
yeah.
before you hit the play button.
Yeah.
What I'd like to say about this is, you know, we only have what's very limited reports about what's going on there. I don't have any eyes on the ground or anything like that. All we have is what they're showing us, right? And what they're posting. That's what we have. And this, what we're about ready to go through is a series of videos that have major anomalies in them, just like false flag type of videos that we've reviewed multiple times for different events. And we simply point out the edits and the fakeries and the things that we see in the video that don't make sense, and why would they do that at that particular event? Well, this particular video that you're about ready to show and some of the other ones have major, major anomalies in them. And when you see them, you're going to see edits and splices and fakeries, and you're going to see things that don't make sense. You're going to see there's no bullets in the gun at times, mixed in with some other scenes that there are real. So you can see there's some doctoring, some editing to create a narrative in this video. And you should say to yourself, you know what? If all of this was real, if it was really happening the way they were telling us, why are they putting out a video that's showing falsehoods and fakeries in it? That has to be a question in everybody's mind. Why would they go to the trouble to create a video full of fakeries and falsehoods? If it's really happening, they simply would show the real thing. So that's just, I want to set that up with everything that we're looking at. And we're going to see some obvious fakeries and some falsehoods that are completely BS in these videos here. And this is one of the really strong ones. I'm glad you're going to play it, sir.
Okay, Danny, you tell me when to pause, if you want me to pause, or should I play it all the way through?
You can play it all the way through, sir, and then I might tell you to pause during one scene.
Okay.
You'll see that men appear out of thin air and
okay.
really bad editing.
Here we go. Warning, extremely graphic. footage recovered from Israeli security. You got a guy running around with a weapon. I don't get a soundtrack, Danny. Is there a sound here?
There is some sound, but they bring it in and out for whatever reason.
Yeah. Here's shooting up a car.
Yeah. And they're shooting at a car at a gate. You can see the windows blow out in the back.
Yeah.
And there's some militants with, you know, those are AK-47s, I'd like to point out. Those are Russian guns. They're not American weapons. And here comes a bunch of guys on motorcycles. And they're all teamed up on small, undersized motorcycles with two guys carrying weapons, AK-47s and RPGs. And see how there was just an edit now. So they stopped the film, clicked, and then these men appeared out of nowhere. So some, you know, men that weren't there, now they're gone, now they're back. You can see extreme editing right here. And these guys all of a sudden appear in the picture out of thin air. They're not playing the video all the way through. Here's some men jumping out of a car, and they cut away from them. Here's a guy that appears to be running away from the militants, and you'll see they'll cut to him running down the street. Now there's no militants around. Notice it's clear, nobody around, no shooters. Now all of a sudden there's the shooters. They appear out of thin air. It's like they just interjected them in the video. They came out of nowhere. Look at all the editing and the splicing that's going on. Right? And I mean, they appeared to hit somebody out of thin air. There's no militants. The guy fell on the ground that got shot. Here's some guys policing bodies. Now, this guy, this heavy, look at these heavy set guys. These are not military operators. These are just guys that, regular guys, and they're policing bodies, and that's an American weapon, I'd like to say, he's holding. That's an AR-10. That's not an AK handgun. Where did he get that? I'd like to know where he got that rifle. But you see that guy is extremely overweight. These are not military operators. These are not guys in really good shape at all. Here comes a bunch of militants through the gate, again, on bicycles, carrying AK-47s. There's a guy. There comes some sound, sir. I wish I could understand what they were saying. So they appear to be beating up on a citizen there.
Yes.
He threw a grenade in there, I'd like to add, but there was no explosion. There was no ordnance there. Now they cut away from all of that and they go to a completely different scene. Who knows? It's even a different day. It's definitely a different time of day by the sun. And it has nothing to do with what we just watched. This is all a different day, different time, completely different. Just a bunch of guys with AKs going over the wall. This could be anywhere at any time. There's no time stamp on here at all. And all we see is a bunch of militants riding little motorcycles down a dirt road. And, you know, there's nobody around. This makes no sense to me. Why would they throw this in with that other video? It makes no sense at all. We're in a completely different landscape now, different time of day. You know, they have some weapons that are shooting into a field, but there's nobody around. There's one of the militants right there. He wanted to make sure you saw his face. And they're riding on a motorcycle. I mean, he's got an RPG there. They got their AKs, and they just appear to be riding down the street, taking a motorcycle ride. Nothing around. No shooting around, no nothing. This makes no sense. Why would this be edited into the video at all? They appear to be going over a ramp, to be going over the wall. I guess that's some kind of wall going into Israel from Gaza. You know, I'm not that familiar with that wall. And they just keep showing these sort of militants. But these Hamas guys don't look, if they're Hamas, they don't look like, you know, Navy SEALs, Army Rangers, or anything like that. These guys, I mean, some of them are extremely overweight. They're out of shape. You know, they're not wearing, you know, high-tech gear, anything like that. They just look like ordinary citizens that picked up an AK and threw on a backpack. That's it. you know, if they ever ran across a team of Navy SEALs or Army Rangers or anything like that, you know, they would be completely wiped out quickly. Now they appear to be shooting, sir, completely another scene, shooting into a house in a village that they raided. So we're back to the original video. But you notice they're shooting their bullets right at the windows, and there's no impact. So I'd like to say for sure there's no impact on the wall or the glass. And, you know, if that was a real AK-47 shooting real 7.62 rounds, there'd be massive holes and the windows would be blown out. And again, when they're shooting their guns, there's no damage. There's no bullet strikes, okay? That's impossible, sir. You would see damage from the bullet, especially at that range. You'd see damage. They're definitely shooting blanks now. In this particular scene right now that we're watching, they're firing blanks out of those AK-47s. They're not firing live rounds. Why would they show us soldiers or militants shooting blanks out of their weapons? That makes no sense to me at all. I don't understand that. This is a real thing. Why would they set up and splice in militants firing blanks from their weapons, sir? Right? Watch, he's going to shoot into this van. You slow it down. He pointed it right at the front end. There's no damage. No bullet strike. The glass didn't break. No windshield. He pointed it right at the headlight, pulled the trigger. We saw smoke out of the gun, but no bullet strikes, whatever. Shooting at the windows and the walls, no bullet strikes right there. The firing blanks, sir. They're not really sighting down the barrel of their weapons. They're just holding them in the air in a general direction. You know, but there's, again, there it is, shooting at the side of the wall. You can see he clearly had the rifle pointed at the wall, pulled the trigger. He got smoke, but there's no bullet strikes. No bullet strikes, again, coming out of the weapon.
Excellent.
Danny, right back after this break.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of a library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming. And it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, that's it. Jim Fetzer with Danny Saris. I'm letting the video run now. And you notice there, Danny, we just passed by where a guy was sitting in his backyard nonchalantly while these supposed terrorists were running around. Now we're in a house that's obviously seen better days. There's some, what, maybe blood on the floor, but we saw earlier a couple of bodies, and I noticed no blood on either of the bodies. Your comments, Danny?
Well, the same, sir. This is a different day. It's a completely different scene. Again, the time of day has changed. We're seeing bombing footage now. That's bombing footage, sir. This is not the same village with the militants. What they're doing is they're splicing different videos together, trying to create one event from different videos that were shot at different times on different days. They do this to create a narrative. They're trying to shape your mind into something. And this could be old footage from who knows where, but it's not the same area where the militants were. There's a dog that was shot. There's no date or time stamp on any of this stuff. And a lot of this is, but look at those bodies in that car. This is bomb footage, sir. This could be from, you know, Iraq 2 for all we know. We have no idea where this is. This is a completely different scene. And they're splicing it in. There's all kinds of video trickery going on here and editing. You know, now there's no militants around. This is just footage we're seeing. There's no sense of where this is, what time of day this is, when it happened, anything. This has nothing to do with the first part of the video. Again, this video is completely edited and spliced with clips from all different scenes, times, to create some kind of a narrative. And it's full of trickery, sir. That's what I want to talk about. The splices where men appear out of thin air. First they're there, then they're not. They disappear into thin air like a bad Hollywood movie. And then, you know, there's full scenes in here where a hand grenade he throws into a room doesn't go off. We should see the blast from the shrapnel. We see AKs going off at point blank range. At a van and a wall and other things, and there's no impact from the rounds. It's obviously there's blanks coming out of the weapons. And there's a lot of hoax and trickery. There's a man running down the street that appears to be shot. He falls forward on the ground, and there's no blood on his back. He was shot from behind. Then we see a little bit of blood on the ground when he's laying on the ground. It looks like a blood plaque to me. He falls on the ground, and there's no militants around. Where did he get shot? You wait a few seconds. You're like, who shot him? There's nobody around. Then all of a sudden, the video splices, and there's like six men that appear out of thin air over on the left that come out of the field that was just blank. So what's going on here? What's with all this hokery and this editing and the splicing and the blank rounds coming out of the AK? If this was all real, sir, it would not look like this. We'd see the real thing. We'd see the hand grenade and the damage. We'd see bullets from the bullet strikes. You know, we'd see real bullet strikes when they hit that guy. We'd see stuff. This is just bad. You know, we have better editing and better special effects on watching our sitcoms on television than we do during the video. And I'd like to point out that this video was posted on the Israeli YouTube channel. So this was put out by the Israeli government. And
yeah,
this was highly edited, highly spliced.
Yeah.
Spliced together to create a narrative, sir. To create a narrative. And all I'm saying, sir, I want to point out, I can only talk about what I can see with my own eyes. I'm not on the ground, but what I do see is a lot of hoaxes. I see a lot of splicing, a lot of editing, a lot of trickery, and things that don't make sense with the weapons. They're not working properly. They're shooting blanks, hand grenades that aren't working. And I'm simply saying, sir, why are we seeing this in this video? Why are they presenting this video to the public and trying to create a narrative with all this fakery and hoaxing going on in this video? I'd like to put that question to you, sir.
Sure, sure, sure. Well, it's just propaganda, Danny. It's supposed to show what bad guys Hamas is. Now, here got one with a CNN reporter forced to take shelter on the ground as Israelis have been forced to do it for 3 days. I think this is supposed to convince us it's real because it's a CNN reporter. Here we go. Saying, forgive me, I have a slightly inelegant position, but we just had a massive barrage of rockets. I'll play a real short clip.
Forgive me, I have a slightly inelegant position, but we have just had a massive barrage of rockets coming in here not too far from us. So we have had to take shelter here by the roadside. We're just about 5 minutes away. Gaza is in that direction. We can hear now a lot of jets in the sky. We could also hear the Iron Dome intercepting a number of those rockets as they were whizzing overhead and making impact in that direction, not too far from here. We came to this location because this was ground zero for this entire operation of carnage.
Now, Danny, what you're seeing there was a second shot after they'd done a preliminary. I actually have the original footage there where you can hear the director explaining how they're supposed to do it. Here it is, Danny. Go ahead, comment. Go ahead.
Before you roll it, I would like to comment. Originally saw that clip on CNN, and it's CNN reporters, and they're walking down a street with a little tiny irrigation ditch on the right, and all of a sudden they jump into the ditch, and they have no security team with them. Okay, they have no security, which would be absolute no-no in a war zone. Okay, they would have armed security with them, just like American reporters when they go into some kind of a war zone. But what happens is when they're done shooting the scene, they get up and walk around and dust their pants off. He's with that coworker, that guy that appears to be on a cell phone, and they get up and just walk away. Even in the live footage, that's the short version. The long version, they get up and there's nothing going around. There's no bullets around. There's no shooting going on. There's no bombs. There's no nothing. And when I first saw that, and I saw that on the CNN thing, I said, that's fake. There's none of that stuff would be happening in a real war zone. That whole thing was propaganda. But then, sir, after that, after I saw that, the following clip that you're going to show came out. And
yeah,
when that came out, sir, I couldn't believe it, but you'll hear a director giving them stage advice on how to look afraid, how to get on the ground and pretend to look scared. You know, this isn't a sitcom. Look like you're scared. You're going to hear all this, sir. And I'm going to say, if this was a real war zone, why would they put making these propaganda videos like this? And this is a prime example, sir, from CNN. Please go ahead and play it.
Yeah, Danny, you got it exactly right. Listen up.
Jerry, now you can see the area is completely deserted, but I want you to get them off the road and get them laid down next to the road, okay? Closer to the road, Jerry. Move them. It looks like we're in the middle of a forest.
Down. Close.
Okay, Jerry, tell the cameraman to keep Clarissa in shot, okay? It's not the Blair Witch Project.
You're fine.
That's not the Blair Witch Project. Get nice and close. Get the cameraman nice and close. Okay, now look around, Jerry. Just look around as if you're in danger. Try and look nice and scared. Yeah, that's it. Catching your breath. Dead scary over here with all the bombs going off and all that.
Guys.
Okay, that's beautiful. That's the money shot. Nice and tight on Clarissa.
Are you seeing our situation, guys?
Stella, yes.
Yes.
Can she hear the shells, Jerry? Because they are about 6 miles away.
Can you hear the shells? Stay down.
Stay down.
Derek, can you boost the volume on those explosions, please? Oh, and be a darling and patch me through to Clarissa's microphone, please.
Guys, come to us.
Clarissa, I need you to stop swearing. You're overdoing it. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Good. Now, we're getting set up on sound and visual. We should be going live in about 15 seconds. Okay.
Were you guys rolling on this?
Yeah, we're rolling, Clarissa, but we're not live yet. Okay. We can't show the earth.
Now, Danny, as you were observing... We're listening to the editor giving instruction to the journalists and the cameraman where to film, where to lie down, how to breathe, how scared they should be, how to amplify the sound of the shelling and more. While there's nothing around them, they pretend they're in the middle of shelling. Crisis actors, what's the need? Here is the CNN footage, the background to what we played previously, Danny, that looked like it might be authentic, but clearly was staged. Your further comments?
Well, sir, you know, I got to say, it, just logically, okay, why are they having a CNN crew over in Israel, which I don't even know where they are exactly, walking down the street? There's nothing going around on around them. There's no fighting going on or anything like that. And then randomly, the director starts giving them direction. So just let's pick this ditch right here. This is a good spot. Start laying on the ground and pretend to be scared. You can hear him giving her commands on how to look and how to breathe and what her coworkers should be doing there. And that's it. This isn't the Blair Witch Project. Let's all look scared here. Okay, reporter, you're overdoing it. Don't do the cussing. I mean, sir, what an absolute joke. Obviously, that wasn't meant to go out on air, but it was leaked out by somebody that said they had enough of this. And the raw footage was leaked out, and it shows that it's just another con job by CNN. Why are they making fake propaganda videos in a supposed war? If there really is a conflict, show the conflict. Why are you faking it? Why are you pretending something is happening that's not happening? You're trying to create a narrative to fool the world into something that is not happening, sir.
Here's a good one, Danny. Harrowing story of survival. Crisis actors hired by Israel. This is how they play the victims. Your TV will be playing it over and over. The exact opposite is true. Check this out. Harrowing story of survival.
The family's parents killed, trying to protect Artem from the gunfire.
Of course. And they got a satanic symbol on his shirt there, Danny. Did you see that?
Watch the girl on the left laugh.
He lost his arm. And
she can't. She can't hold it. I love it.
Mom and Dad are dead. Sorry.
She's the one on the right is laughing too, Danny. This is worth replaying. This is so bad. We got to replay it.
Burst into the family's cabin. His parents killed, trying to protect Artem.
Satanic symbol on his shirt.
They threw a grenade or something. It exploded. The last thing my dad said is he lost his arm.
She's laughing. Covering her face with her hand.
His sister survived the...
Mom and Dad are dead. Mom and Dad are dead.
She's laughing because she can't get her lines right. Danny, this is embarrassing to beat a band. Your thoughts?
Well, sir, what I'm trying to say is this is over-the-top crisis actors
They've been given a story to portray live on the news, and that one girl is a really bad actor. She cannot contain the laughter because it's a joke, sir. It's not true. And yeah. She needs to pretend that her family was killed, and she's sitting there cracking up laughing, turning red, smiling. And, you know, it's a tape. They should have never ran this on TV. I can't believe they were stupid enough to put this out over the air.
Yeah.
Where we can obviously see it was a fakery.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so blatant. Danny, we got a couple more we want to work in. Here we have one. Israel and Gaza, fake war, false war, ops exposed. Let's play this one, Danny. Here it comes.
Are believed to have brought multiple Israeli captives back into Gaza. Do you know anything about that? What can you report at this stage? All right.
No damage from the explosion.
Please take cover. If you are in a position to do so safely, you can explain to us what we're happening. If you are not in a position to do so safely, then please get to safety.
No, it's okay. This is a missile attack on Palestine Tower, right in the middle of Gaza City.
Twin towers.
Yumna, take a moment to breathe.
Missile attack, sir. That's a weak missile.
Take a moment to breathe, okay? Just take a moment as we are looking at this picture. We are hours into this war between Gaza and Israel, and we have just witnessed live what an Israeli air raid looks like.
Right now, we'll get back to you when we know something else. Something is watching, we're scanning the skies for something else coming in, but right now we can't see much of anything, and frankly, this is what we can show you on television right now, because
look at the blue screen in the background.
Yeah, fake news from Saudi Arabia of 1990. Totally fake.
CD, if you need to take cover, I noticed that you've got your gas mask in your hands. If you need to put it on, please do so. If you need to take cover, please do so. If you are able to take a question, did you think that this possible threat would be over because it is now morning there? It's...
All right. Yumna, please take cover.
Notice there's no shrapnel, sir, no damage.
You can explain to us what we're happening. If you are not in a position to do so safely, then please get to safety.
No, it's okay.
And there's a cloud of something. It looks like it might have been an explosion.
Switching to the fake Saudi Arabian. It's like it's a sitcom.
My apologies, but he's putting on a gas mask. There hasn't been any gas dropped here, but we could tell.
You smell anything?
No. You may smell some of the fumes from a missile exhaust going off. And this was usually a rocket at Fordite, some sort of burning. And we just heard a little funk just then. I have to apologize for that.
Jack, I'm on the air. Call me.
Gives you more experience.
Call me at the top of the hour. Call me at the
gas in the rocket exhaust. Well, a lot of people have the respirators on just in case.
And so we're having these little pieces of information trickle in about what the Israelis knew and what they didn't know. Get down, everyone. Get to the car, lay down flat. Everyone down, flat, cover your head. More rapid fire now, loud explosions coming off. Another time they're trying to overwhelm the Iron Dome again. I can see them going off the Gaza Strip from multiple locations. Just pull up.
Fireworks going off in the
background.
July 4th fireworks.
Nice. So they tried to do it again, tried to overwhelm the Iron Dome missile defense system, firing from multiple locations.
along the border. It sounded like a few of those slipped past. There were more rockets than explosions, indicating that it certainly wasn't 100% success rate. Everyone okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Stand up. Thank you. All right. We're going to get up here.
You want more of this, Danny, or one of the other clips?
A constant scene here.
This is Sandra and John. Pretty bad stuff, Danny.
Well, it gets worse, sir. We're almost over. Wait till you
there are a lot of things I can't report right demolition. Now because of operational security, but things are very, very bad along the Gaza border. Small arms fire, continued rocket fire into southern and central Israel. Soldiers doing what they can to hold lines around here, but it is a very, very bad situation. One of the worst that I've seen between Israel and Gaza.
Calusa is on the ground.
There she is again.
Stand by.
Hi, John. So forgive me. I have a slightly inelegant position, but we have just had a massive barrage of rockets coming in here not too far from us. So we have had to take shelter here by the roadside. We're just about 5 minutes away. Gaza is in that direction. We can hear now a lot of jets in the sky. We can also hear the Iron Dome intercepting a number of those rockets as they were whizzing overhead and making impact in that direction.
Whizzing overhead, I love it.
We came to this location because this was ground zero for this entire operation of carnage. Hamas militants came on a pickup truck. This was the first place where they breached that border wall, and they basically drove down this strip just spraying lead wherever they went. We saw, in fact, I was just grabbing it before that happened and we had to hit the deck, but heavy weaponry being used. It's saying we can get up now. Where are we moving to? Sorry, just 1 second. Okay. So now I can show you.
Nothing happening, sir, anywhere around.
This is where those militants first came, opening up fire on all these vehicles. There's a baby carriage down there turned over on its side. You can see over there, Clayton, if you just show in the distance there, some kind of strikes, looks like in Gaza as well. Return fire. Or is that the smoke from the rocket launches? Forgive me.
She's just mumbling, sir, making stuff up out of
the air. Yes.
To know exactly what's been going on.
People walking down the street. We're going to blow the building with explosives, sir, like 9/11. Watch the building closely. Watch the building. That's supposed to be a missile attack. Comes another angle, sir. We're almost done. No damage. Just a flashbang. No damage. No shrapnel.
Mitchell, kill the brake. Kill the brake.
Sir, can you go back for about 10 seconds on that video? I don't know if you can go back just for
sure.
10 seconds.
Sure.
Watch this part closely, sir. Watch this angle right here.
This is It sure looks like a controlled demolition to me, Danny.
That's exactly what it is, sir. It's a controlled demolition. Watch this, sir. No missiles. Look at the building.
Danny, I don't know if there was more to that clip. We got two others, if you want. I asked Mitchell to kill a break so we could cover them before we take calls. You want to go to one of the others? Go ahead and comment on this one.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, you can see the controlled demolition, sir. You can see they planted explosives in that empty building to simulate some sort of missile, but there's no airplanes, no missiles, nothing like that. When the explosion went off on the top of the building, it was just a flash. There was no shrapnel. That would have been the weakest missile or bomb in the history. It was just the smoke type of thing that went off. And then when the explosions hit, sir, you can see the multiple explosions on each floor.
Yeah.
You can watch each floor go off and then the building fall in a controlled demolition. Like they were taking a building down, sir. But again, the narrative on TV when they played that was that missile strikes from airplanes were hitting the building and knocking it down. That was the narrative, sir. And it's obviously hoax and trickery. And why are they showing us such fakery to try to present a narrative that is not happening, sir?
Now, Danny, you got one with a different angle. This is Benny Johnson team exposing single military-age Syrian men coming across the U.S.-Mexico border. They're being imported for a very specific reason. The finale for the globalists take over America. Buy guns and ammo to defend yourself. Quote, I just watched a video of 50 Syrian men crossing our border in Arizona. I have a few questions. Where are the women and children? How did they get from Syria to Mexico? Who paid for them to get to Mexico? If you believe these are asylum seekers, do you believe there were no children and women who also needed asylum? No. Just military-age men. And why are we allowing 95% of them to come into our country? Why is our government not asking any of these questions? Why is this not being blasted all over the news? Who are these military-age women and childless men that are coming into our country? Make it make sense. She makes it really good. Let's take a look at this, Danny. Here we go.
I just watched a video of 50 Syrian men crossing our border in Arizona. I just have a few questions. Where are the women and children? How did they get from Syria to Mexico? Who paid for them to get to Mexico? If you believe these are asylum seekers, do you believe that there were no children and women who also needed asylum? No, just military-aged men. And why are we allowing 95% of them to come into our country? And why is our government not asking any of these questions? Why is this not being blasted all over the news? Who are these military-aged women and childless men that are coming into our country? Make it make sense.
Makes a really great point there.
Danny, let me say,
so we got out of order for a minute. That was going to be at the end of our segment.
Yeah.
But that was just if we were going to touch our border.
I know, Danny. I know, Danny. But I know it's out of, that's okay. But let me just add, I wonder if they are agreeing by saying, how would you like to go to the United States and kill Americans? I wonder if that's the recruiting slogan for all these so-called asylum seekers they're bringing in. I mean, it's outrageous, Danny. It's outrageous.
Well, I totally agree with that, sir. And, you know, as an American, that's very concerning to me when I see a bunch of these men all over the country now. This is just one snippet, by the way. There's a lot of them. We don't have enough time to go through all the video. But what are these men doing in these large groups getting caught at the border, you know, and being shown like this? Obviously, one of the agents wanted us to see this and invited a cameraman in to take a quick shot. But I'd be very concerned if I was an American. What are all these men doing flooding the United States like this?
Danny, I think we've covered them. I mean, so far as I can see, we've actually covered them.
We covered all the false flag stuff that we had today, sir. And, I'm glad that you did show that clip of all the men. But that is a big concern of mine, that we have these military-aged men like this coming in from Syria and other countries.
How did they get here, sir? What did they buy plane tickets somehow and fly out and go through all these countries to sneak through Mexico and come into the United States? Who's funding their whole path? That's a long way to go, coming from Syria and these other countries to get into Mexico and sneak up into the United States like that. Somebody is funding this, sir. Somebody is inviting them for some sort of a reason. And you know what? And the fact that we're going to be housing them and giving them money, it's reported they're getting $2,200 a month cash, like in a welfare system that they created. And if they have a child, they get an additional $2,200. That makes it $4,400 a month. Well, no wonder they're coming from third world countries. We're offering them $2,200 and $4,400 a month of taxpayer money to what? Sit in a jammed hotel and watch television? What are the globalists doing this for, sir? What are we bringing all these people that can't speak our language, that are uneducated? Why are all these men being brought into the United States? That's a legitimate question.
Well, but Danny, the answer is obvious: to kill Americans. I mean, they, how can we have any doubt about it? It's a little too blatant, I'm afraid, Danny. Too blatant.
Well, I mean, are they going to arm them at some
of course. Danny, I've reported for years now how agencies of the government that have no connection to law enforcement or the military, like the IRS or the EPA, have spent over $1 billion on military equipment for what purpose? To put them in caches around the country where these guys can go and get their weapons, and they've given them cell phones so they can direct them to do it. I want to open the lines, Danny. I'm sure we're going to have lots of comments here. 540-352-4452. Call in and speak to Danny and me about all of the above. 540-352-4452. Danny, you continue your commentary, and we'll see if we have any callers to deal with. Go ahead.
Well, sir, I'd like to war game this arming these men coming in. You know, I'm thinking, I know a guy that was in Texas, in the Dallas area about a week ago, and he found out the hotel he was staying in was completely full with these men. And they were told to stay in their rooms and watch TV and don't come out to not scare the legitimate guests. And this he went and interviewed one of the hotel workers that told him that they were getting paid extra money and that all the rooms were full. But again, these men were told to stay from these other countries or stay in their rooms and stay low key and don't come out and wander around the hotel because they didn't want anybody to see them. And the hotel was full of them. So I'm thinking, what is the point? And if they try to arm these men at some point, what are they going to do? Deliver weapons to them, room service to their room? And when they come out, sir, and fire that first shot in Texas, I mean, all hell's going to break loose. You're going to see every militia in the world come out of the woodwork. There's going to be shooting war in the streets. And these men are going to be cut down very, very quickly. I don't understand how they think they're going to activate all these caches of men. All the United States crammed in these hotels at the same time, simultaneously, to attack Americans? I just don't see it, sir.
No, that's what's going on, Danny. And they got the caches of weapons around the country. It's supposed to come as a surprise. This is an invasion going on at our southern border. An effing invasion right in front of our eyes. Just like, you know, Israelis are going to commit genocide in Gaza. These guys are going to commit genocide here in America, and we're going to have a hell of a fight in our hands because the Biden administration has given them a lot of ammo. They're even trying to cut us off from ammo. Did you hear there was a big explosion at an ammo manufacturer here in the United States, Danny? Believe me, they have a plan, and they're executing their plan, and it's just taking us a while to figure out what the plan is.
Well, yeah, the Biden administration about a week ago contacted what's called the Lake City Ammo Company that makes the 5.56 ammo, and they urged them to stop selling to the public. So what are you taking the number one rifle round and trying to cut off the public from being able to buy anymore? I mean, why would you do that And then again, these military men, sir, if they were actually to do that, and I'm trying to think of the day where they actually get handed weapons and backpacks of ammo or whatever, and all of a sudden they get cued on their cell phone to leave their hotel rooms and go out in the street and start shooting. The minute, sir, whatever town or city in the United States starts off with the first shot, and it, within seconds, that's going to go spread through the United States via, social media like wildfire. I mean, it is going to be on, sir. Every single guy in the country with a weapon that has training is going to come out and be at the ready looking for anybody walking around the street doing that stuff. Sir, we're going to have an instant civil war, or these guys, I think, are going to be gunned down, and it's going to turn into instant chaos everywhere in the United States. And that, all that has to do is happen in one town. One town. And the whole United States is going to alert.
I don't see anyone calling yet. Let me bring in Mitchell. Mitchell, would you please join the conversation and give us your thoughts about everything or anything we've been covering here today?
Well, Jim, it's all a Truman Show. It's all something designed to provoke a reaction or to get a response. And that response will be, well, used and taken advantage of. You know, whether it is for or against Israel, whether it is for or against Hamas, you know, these are all events that are, you know, going to be played against each other. If that makes any sense.
Sure, Danny.
Well, sir, you know, again, I'm just going to say, whether this is being done to scare the American public, like create some kind of a psychological war, whether it's to bring these men in to be the new Democrat voters, right, to replace all the people that are passing away of the COVID shot, because none of these men have to have the COVID shot, by the way. None of them are getting any medical screening. We don't know what kind of diseases any of them might have. You know what I mean? They're just bringing them in right over the border. But yet when somebody comes over to the border legitimately with a passport, they have to go through all this medical screening and all. They want the vax card still and all this nonsense for an American citizen. But they're just pouring these migrants over the border from these foreign countries with no medical checks whatsoever. You know, so obviously they're not concerned for some reason that any of these people could have tuberculosis or any of the hundreds of diseases they can bring in here from these foreign countries, right? But if bringing them here to arm them, again, I'd just like to point out, sir, wherever this touches off, whatever city they decide to ever do this, and we get these militants to come out on the street, start shooting civilians, sir, you know, they might get away with it for about 10 or 15 minutes, but between the local police and all the law enforcement and the militias hit the street, I mean, good luck launching that nationwide from coast to coast with all these fans.
Danny, I think, I tell you, that's what they're going to try to do. We got Brian standing by. Brian, join the conversation.
You know, I'm sure Muammar Gaddafi thought the same thing. They're never going to be able to do that here. I'm so good to my people. I give them free college. I give them free everything. The oil money, you know, is theirs. Well, they had Operation Jigsaw in Libya, and look what happened to Libya. So they have the means. They've done it before, and so I agree that that's what they have in store for us. So anyway, the other thing that it reminds me of is the 1973 Arab-Israeli war, that was actually put together by Anwar Sadat, Golda Meir, Kissinger, And seems like there was some other person, and it was because we looked so bad in the Middle East, they were going to make us look like the good guys so we could get the oil petrodollar going. You know, we'd look better with Saudi Arabia. And that was all just another big Truman Show, that the Egyptian army kind of stepped aside, let the Israelis do what they had to do. So, you know, that's what we live in. It's just the big illusion, and it's all to screw with us. So anyway, that's my comments.
Yeah, well, those are good comments. Danny, you want to reply to Brian?
Yeah, I'd like to bring up an incident, sir, that I don't know if a lot of people remember, but I'm sure you'll remember. It was probably at least 10 years ago in the country of India. And there was an NGO, and I don't remember where he was from, but he sponsored a group of attackers, about 25 men or so, that were dropped in the country of India in a smaller town outside of like Bombay, India. I don't remember the provenance or the town. And they were dropped into this town. They weren't residences of India. And they were young men, 18 to say 25 years old. And these young men had AK-47s, the fully automatic machine gun ones, the class 3 weapons. And they had backpacks full of magazines and weapons, and they had cell phones. And their objective was to drop into this town where there's no civilians aren't armed. They have the police use World War II rifles and weapons. They're very, very way behind on their guns. They don't have modern weapons. And these militants went around the town, and they just shot the whole town up. They started shooting civilians as they were walking down the street. They were dropped in there almost like you would drop ordnance or a bomb on a town, except for they dropped them in the form of these men with automatic weapons. And the siege went on for several hours throughout the day, where there's footage of it. A lot of it's been censored off of YouTube. And they finally defeated these militants. Some of them were stuck on rooftops. They started to run out of ammo. And they shot a lot of them with old World War II rifles. They took a few of them into custody. But it was kind of a suicide mission. And it came back when this was all said and done that some NGO that was really upset at India had funded this attack, paid these guys, and dropped them into the country to create this chaos and this siege throughout the town. And I'll never forget that. And I thought, man, I hope something like that can never happen in the United States, because we'd all come out with our weapons if we saw something like that. And it almost seems like they're trying to repeat that test in India that day, and they're trying to set that up in the United States by bringing all these foreign guys in here, paying them, sticking them in all these hotels all over the country. We're finding them all over the place. And for what? What are they storing these men up? It's got to be they have a plan, sir. And everybody ought to be really nervous that all of our hotels around this country are jam-packed with these foreign men of military age sitting around watching TV, collecting money. What are they packing our hotels around the United States with these foreign men for? Why are they telling them to stay in their rooms and stay quiet? And don't
Because they're waiting for the call to attack. Danny, I don't think there's anything subtle about this. Brian, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. It's what they have planned. It's on a larger scale. You know, that was 25, but we've got 25 million of them here. So anyway, it's a little bigger plan now.
Mitchell, do you want to offer your thoughts about this? Because I think this is a horrific situation, and it just shows the Democrat Party, the Biden admin, are all in on the destruction of America, which has been moving forward aggressively for 3 years now with no signs of abatement. And it seems to me they're getting to be in the position where they're going to unleash the horror right here in the United States. Mitchell.
Yes, I agree, Jim. I have said, I think, on my Rumble show, and I think I spoke with you briefly, that we here in the United States have already had a Hamas-style attack with the George Floyd riots. And for those that naively believe that that Democrat violence won't be used to further their agenda, I think people need to wake up and have a revelation that, you know, our government has been running counterintelligence, political operations, psyops against the people themselves. If you just didn't know, the Supreme Court just let Biden administration continue censorship of America. So
you're kidding me.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was the case?
Well, it was the temporary injunction against the federal government on the federal case with Missouri and Louisiana, and states were suing the federal government. The Supreme Court's just come out and said that they have stopped the limited action, limiting the Biden censorship that was temporary. As the case moves forward, they'll be able to, well, you know, censor again. So,
okay, I see Paul is standing by. Go ahead, Paul, weigh in.
Well, I've heard this so many times on your show, and, you know, it's the boredom factor is setting in for me. So let's gamble. Okay, so let's take the first one, the wider war in the Middle East, which I'm predicting is not going to happen. How long of a time window would you like, Jim? Would you like 6 months? Would you like a year? What do you need?
Well, tell us why you think it's not going to happen, Paul.
I just don't believe it's going to. I just think it's not.
Well, you have reasons. You have reasons.
No, I don't have a lot of reasons for a lot of things I do, but I just I keep turning out to be right over and over again. And we could call it intuition, discernment, perception. What you're fearful for what you read about and talk about all the time. You allow yourself to be influenced by these various news sites. I don't care if they're even non-mainstream. Okay, I'm not accusing you of just using Fox or MSNBC or whatever, and I'm sure you do get some information from some of these sources, but even all these internet sites that are putting all these ideas into your head, because it's exactly what they want. They want us to be afraid of all this stuff, and I don't believe there's going to be a wider non-conventional war in the Middle East. This thing is going to pass. So anyway, let's make it interesting. What do you need? You need 6 months.
So Israel hasn't sent its subs to see. Iran hasn't opened its missile silos. There's no bombing going on in Gaza. Everything just hunky dory, and it's all fake news. Is that your position?
No, that's not my position. There's some stuff they're going to be doing there in Gaza locally. What I'm saying is look, Russia, China, Iran, all those countries, they're not going to come and get involved. They're not going to make a conventional move. I've already told you I don't believe in nuclear weapons. I have a good reason for that. So it's not going to be that either. So even if nuclear weapons existed, they're not going to be used. That's my proposal. That's my bet. I'll give you 6 months. If nothing happens in 6 months, you owe me $25. How about that?
Sure, you got a deal. Brian, your thoughts.
Okay.
I'm on Paul's side, and it's different because I do all this meditation stuff, and there's just so much light here that they just can't do it. And Paul, I'm amazed at his intuition. When he talked about women the other day, I get all this information on all the Indian squaws around here because I can see them in their timeline, and he's so spot on everything. All these young squaws want to do is get pregnant and have babies. That's their concern. They want no part of being in government and politics. And so when he made those comments the other day, I thought, God, he's so spot on things. And well, I agree with him in the Middle East. We're not going to have a big war.
Mitchell.
Go ahead.
Mitchell, I'd like your thoughts on this. And I do see we have Reese standing by, and we might as well make it a free-for-all. Go ahead, Mitchell.
But there's a part two on this bet, Jim, so let me get to that after Mitchell.
Okay, well, all right. Go ahead, Paul. Give us your part two.
Okay, so the part two is this plan you talk about with all these illegal, men here, all these brown foreigners that they're going to – give them weapons. That's not going to happen either. Okay. First of all, it's a really bad plan. All right. Because they're not going to be motivated to fight. That's a different thing than putting 20 men like, uh, uh, that, uh, Danny was talking about, where you got 20, you know, men with this plan and they're supplied and they're going on a mission. And I mean, I'm assuming they were paid, so on and so forth. But you're bringing people in here and you're getting them comfortable. You're getting them used to, you're getting them used to money and food and all this stuff and comfort without working. And the vast majority of them are not going to be in any way, shape, or form motivated to go out and do this. So most of them, in my opinion, wouldn't even pick up a weapon and go do anything. And how long would this thing last? In other words, it wouldn't take long, because believe me, everywhere you go, at least where I'm at for sure, you don't know who's armed, but I know for a fact there's lots of people that are armed, and it's just not, it would not go well. It's a failed plan. It's a stupid plan. And it's not going to happen. And we've been hearing about it for years. Just
God,
like we've
Paul,
been hearing
I
about
want, I want you
years.
To I want you to be right, Paul. God knows I want you to be right. Reese, go ahead. Add your 2 cents worth, Reese.
All right. Jim, before I go into the war with Israel-Gaza, which is absolutely going to escalate, I just got to say, you know, when somebody calls your network, and I have a right to commentary, because if I got to suffer through somebody's call blathering nonsense, I've got to address it. And he says that there's absolutely not going to be a war, but he can't give any reason for it other than it's his feeling.
Reese,
I mean, this
Reese,
is absurd.
Reese,
it's absurd.
Reese, just give it. Just give your opinion. Don't dump
no,
on
no,
everything.
Jim.
Just...
Jim, I have a right to commentary, though, on other
I,
people.
I don't like it.
Up.
It's a waste
I'm
of time, Reese. This is
I'm
my show, and I don't like waste of time. I don't like one caller jumping on another caller. I want to hear your opinion.
Except when it's Paul using profanity against me, as he did last week, right, Jim?
I called him out on that. Paul knows better.
I didn't hear that. Reese. I must have missed it. Okay, Jim, let me get to the
point.
Quit your
crying.
Quit
your crying, Reese. Quit your whining and crying.
All right,
see,
now, Jim, now because you allowed him to blather, I'm going to take him out to the woodshed. Jim, all that he's been proved right. Jim, would you mute this moron? Would you mute this moron for a minute so I could talk with you and your guests?
Hold on, Reese, I'm sorry.
Just please mute this empty-headed moron. Does that mean that Paul was proved right with his flat earth? Was Paul proved right with his flat
opportunity here?
See, here we go. Here we go. It's the same thing over and over.
Yeah, I know. Unbelievable.
Why does he always do that? Why does he always bring up the flat earth and everything else all the time? It's constant.
Paul,
you know, again.
I don't know. I want to go back to Danny. I want to go back to Danny. Danny. I want to go back to Danny. Danny, give me your thoughts about all of the above.
Right, sir, I'd like to just kind of put this together. In some ways, I do agree with some of the things that Paul says, but here's the thing. I really would like to know, because I don't know the real reason, all these men are being brought in and housed in these hotels all across their nation that we're paying for. And I think it's interesting timing, sir, that we're doing this all at the same time that these conflicts or these supposed conflicts are brewing over in Israel and Iran and all this is going on. It's almost
I'll tell you.
They're distracting us with one hand and saying, look what's going on over here while this is going on in our country. And are they trying to get us to take our eye off these men in the hotels with all this conflict going on in Israel? You know what I mean? What's going on here that both of them happen to be happening at the same time?
I got a brief answer for that.
Paul, I'm gonna let you speak. Now look, Paul. Danny talks slower than you do. You gotta be patient. You gotta let me call this. I'm gonna give you a chance. Right. Danny, have you finished your thought?
Yeah, I'm just saying, sir. I think it's interesting time happening at the same time.
Yeah.
And then again, as we covered earlier in the show, we see a ton of propaganda and fake video.
Yeah.
And fake editing on everything that's going on in Israel.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting timing. That's like, it's all happening at the same time and being choreographed.
Yeah.
Right now, what's going on?
Okay.
Got it.
Go ahead, Paul. Go ahead.
Right. Paul. So, you know, he did use the phrase, I believe, something like, rubbing our faces in it. I believe I heard something like that. And this is exactly what they're doing, okay? Everybody, we know what the deal is, okay? I don't have to use racial epithets to describe what these people. There's a caller from, I forget, he's down there in Florida. He calls it an RB on an occasion. And, you know, he talked about, he used the term human garbage, okay? Nobody wants these people, and they're not going to bring in women because, first of all, the women aren't going to pose any threat, even a mental or emotional threat. They're not going to put fear into people. And, of course, most of the, you know, American guys are not going to want to have sex with these women as a rule. However, bringing in all these males, all these brown and black foreigners, okay, they do have the potential to go out and rape and also racially mix, right? It's a racial war. They're rubbing our faces in it. It's just like Danny said. Oh, he said slapping our face. That's what he said. Yeah, slapping our face. This is exactly what the Jews are doing. And you need to start thinking in those terms. It's not the Democrats or it's not Biden. It's the Jews. It's Jewish power. They've done this kind of stuff before. It's like this Kalergi plan. It's a variation of the Kalergi plan. And that's all they're doing. And it's outrage. It's what I call outrage porn, like fear porn. They're trying to piss us off. And it's working. All right. This is the question is at what point are we going to do something about it? And what is it we're going to do? We all know what we should do and what would be done 100 or 150 years ago. All you got to do is read about what took place on the Texas-Mexico border, you know, with the Rangers and the plan of San Diego and Pancho Villa and all that stuff. I mean, that's a fairly recent history. And I just actually have sort of reapprised myself of it.
Paul,
so
I like
there's
that.
A lot. There's,
yeah, I like anyway, that. I like all that. Yeah, that's good. Danny, you have been my wonderful guest. I might have opportunity for closing thoughts. Danny.
Well, Paul kind of hit it there, sir. And I just like to say, you know, there's a lot going on at the same time. I don't know what's going to happen with these men. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, at some point soon, sir, a bunch of men need to get together, start rounding foreigners up, making them leave the country. I don't know if that's going to be government agents. I don't know if that's military, National Guard, ICE.
Danny, thanks. I say again to all my audience out there on Revolution Radio, spend as much time with the people you love and care about. Literally, we do not know how much time we have left. Thanks to the callers. Thank you, Danny. Great job.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
I
dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global